Nothing is more frustrating than doing a job or trying to do a job only to find that you do not have the appropriate tool. You may struggle for many hours and not accomplish the task only to find the right tool and complete it in just a matter of minutes. What if this happened to us in a spiritual sense? What if God gave us a job to do but then did not provide us with the right tools to do that job? We would have all of the frustration that comes from such a situation, plus we would have to answer for it in the end. Would a loving and caring God do that to us? Or has He provided for us all of the tools necessary in order to accomplish the task that has been given? Our text is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8, and verses 11 through 13. If you would, read that text with me now as we begin our study. It says, "When He, this is Christ, ascended on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. And He Himself gave some to be apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." We noticed last week that when Jesus ascended on high, He did give gifts to men. These were spiritual gifts, gifts that gave the receiver the ability to do miraculous things. We also understand from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7 that these gifts were not given for the glory of the receiver, but rather they were given for the profit of all. This is that they were to be used in God's service in order that all mankind might benefit from that gift that was given. And we noticed a number of those gifts individually: the miraculous gifts of wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, working of miracles, prophecy, spirits, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. What we need to understand is that all of these gifts were given as tools. God gave them in order to equip the saints to do something. We find in our text that they were given for the equipping of the saints. This means that they were given to make the saints complete, to completely furnish them for a task. It is also given to them for the work of the ministry. This is that they would have the ability to serve each other as they needed to, and also for the edifying of the body of Christ, in order that the church might be built up and be strengthened. When we look at the needs of the early church, we see that there were many. Number one, they faced persecution and difficulties, attacks from their enemies from without. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 1, we find that Saul, this is the man who would later be known as the Apostle Paul, but at this time he was consenting to the death of Stephen. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. This persecution that they had hoped would kill the church actually worked to spread the church. We also see that the people of that day had a choice when it came to this persecution. We find in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 12 that there were many who desired to make a fair show in the flesh. They constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Much of the persecution was brought upon the church by the Roman Empire, but a great deal of persecution was also brought by those who held to the old Jewish traditions, those who would not leave the old covenant and be amenable to and obedient to the new covenant that had been given. Because of this, some were persecuted because of the cross of Christ, yet they could be circumcised and show that they still had some allegiance to this Old Testament covenant, and they would not have to suffer that persecution. In order for them to be faithful to God, they could not do that. Rather, they had to remain faithful to God even if they were persecuted. We find they had a choice. These were attacks that came from without, but the church also had many problems from within. We see just in the church at Corinth that they had a full complement of spiritual gifts, but they also had a full complement of problems. We see that there was great division among them, that they were abusing the Lord's Supper. They were tolerant of incest, fighting with each other in open court, and struggling with many other spiritual issues. They needed these tools in order to be able to face the problems that came from within. We also notice in Revelation chapter 2 and 3 that the Lord there writes to seven churches in Asia. And of these seven churches, all except two, all except the church at Philadelphia and at Smyrna, are strongly reprimanded and called to repentance. In fact, they're warned that if they do not repent, our Lord will come and remove them from being a church. They needed these gifts because there were many problems from within, and they needed to be able to face those problems. Also, they had a problem that is somewhat unique in most places today. They had the problems that come from the very rapid growth of the church. In Acts chapter 6 and verse 1, we find that now in these days, when a number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a murmuring against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. It seems like the charge that was made that the widows were being neglected was an accurate charge. For the apostles don't deny it, rather they say, here's what we need to do to fix the problem, and they address it. So we see the early church had great needs. They had to overcome the attacks that happened from without the church. They had to overcome the problems that happened from within the church. And they had to even overcome the problems of being successful, of having the church grow very rapidly. But what about the church of today? Does the church today have the same needs? Well, in some ways we do. We have today those who are enemies of the Lord's church, and those who would attack the church from without. We also have a number of problems that arise within the church, brethren fighting with each other. We also have the same needs to be equipped, to do the work of the ministry, and to edify the body of Christ. The real question under consideration today is, has God provided for the church today? And if so, did He provide the same way that He provided for the first century church? Now, last week we noticed that Jesus did the equipping of the saints in this particular context by giving them spiritual gifts. And many today claim to have these spiritual gifts. In fact, some go so far as to say that if you don't have a spiritual gift, it is proof that you have not been saved. But what does the Bible say? The Bible, as we noticed last week, showed that there was a time when the spiritual gifts would cease, but that love, mercy, and grace would continue. We understand that that time has already come, for the church has the same needs, many of the same needs, that the first century church had, but God has provided for those needs in a different way. We see in 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 16, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Scriptures have been given to us as a tool. They have been given to us to completely equip us. Now, when we read in our text last week, and then again this week, that God gave gifts to men, and that they were for the equipping of the saints, we understand that those saints lived in a different time than we do. We now have been provided with the completed Scriptures. If you remember last week, we noticed that the Bible did not exist. It was still in the process of being formed. Many of the things that we can read in the Bible were just then being preached for the first time. God had to have a way for His people of that time to know the truth and be able to prove what they were saying was the truth. So He gave them these gifts. Today, if we want to know the truth, we need simply to read the Bible. And if we need to prove that something is true or disprove that which is false, all we have to do is turn our attention to the Bible. Take what is being taught and compare it side by side with what the Scripture says. If it matches, it's the truth. If it doesn't, then it's not the truth, no matter who said it. And that includes anything that would be taught on this broadcast as well. I also remember that Peter, in 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, said that we have been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now, how were we given those things? Through spiritual gifts? No, that's not what he says. Rather, they come to us through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. The one who called us is Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14 said that we are called by His gospel. If we are called by the gospel of Christ, then He is the one who called us by glory and virtue. And it is through the knowledge of Him that we have all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now, what do you know about Jesus? I know that Jesus is God, that He is God the Son, what we know as the second person of the Godhead, that He had a role in creation, that He has been in existence from all time. He is eternal. I know that He came to this earth born of a virgin. I know that He lived on this earth and that He died, going to the cross for my sins. but that he was raised from the dead by the power of the Father. And by doing so, he overcame death, and that he can help me to overcome death, that he has built his church, and that he offers salvation through that church to all who will come and obey him. I know all of this because the Bible teaches it. There is nothing that I know about the Christ that the Bible does not teach me. It is the source that we have so that we may know what God has done, why he has done it, and what he requires us to do. We see that in the first century, God equipped the saints with the Holy Spirit directly. Now we see today that the church still has needs, and God still equips the saints, but he does so through the Word. So it is the Spirit, by his Word, equipping man today. The unity that God desires for us is only possible when we as man unite around his standard. If we try to choose my standard or yours, we will never agree. But both of us should be able to come together to God's standard and unite and agree on it, and thereby serve him acceptably. Then we can both go to heaven.